A person who is convinced that this kind of dancing with the girls is not appropriate or it is illicit. And like Ravi is convinced, many of us know that it doesn't appear to be appropriate to perform such an illicit behavior. But most often people do not know the reason. And many of the very faithful followers of religion, unfortunately, are trapped when they are asked such questions like the ones which we were facing today. Abhi's presentation was good with respect to some of the solid examples he gave, but I felt that it could be more strengthened by giving examples. As I was telling in one of the classes before, we should always give some pictorial examples which can be quickly related to and understood. Otherwise, concepts remain concepts. They don't become clear. Like somebody was asking a nice question about why should at all Lord enact such a pastime that it leads to so much controversy in the society. Even the great king Parikshit had a similar question to Shukadeva Goswami. When Shukadeva Goswami was explaining the rasa dance, when Krishna was playing on his flute, standing under the Vamshiva tree, inviting all the gopis to join him in rasa dance. And towards the end of the description, Parikshit asked a similar question. That the Supreme Lord descends in this world for the purpose of re-establishing religious principles. How he himself can take part in such an act which apparently appears to be immoral? And many other people may imitate him saying this. Why should Lord perform such an act? He used the word jugupsitam. Jugupsitam means abominable. How can the Supreme Lord engage in such an abominable act which even a moral man may not perform? And then he thought to himself and said, Lord is aptakama. Aptakama means one who is self-satisfied. Atmaram, as we say. He doesn't depend on others for his pleasure. Because everything belongs to him, nobody can satisfy him with anything. Because he doesn't need anything from anybody. He is satisfied in himself. Just like if somebody is a karodpati, can you satisfy him by giving him some 100 rupee donation? He doesn't need anybody's donation at all. Because he has everything. So he said, Lord is aptakama. Not only that, Lord was just 8 years old when he performed the rasa dance. So there is no possibility that he could have been lusty. In such a young age, lust is not aroused in the heart of a man. Lust is aroused after one becomes a major. So he was surprised how Lord performed such actions when even at such a young age. Then he said to himself, maybe the lust was induced by the beautiful girls, the gopis who danced with him. Then he said, still that is also not possible because the Lord is Yadupati. Yadupati means the descendant of Yadu, the great king Yadu, who was very famous for his godly qualities. Just like we say, if you belong to such and such family, then you cannot perform a sinful activity. Why? Because you come in such a good lineage. We say that, is it not? If you are coming in a good lineage, from good family, then you won't perform immoral acts. So he said, Lord is coming in the Yadu dynasty, then how can he afford to perform such an action? So in this way, Parikshit got many questions in his mind. And Shukadeva Goswami very wonderfully sorted out the matter. He clarified this point. First of all, before we even talk about the rasa dance, one should be able to understand the position of the Supreme Lord. What is he exactly? Without knowing that, it is meaningless to talk about his activities. One should know about the Lord's janma, and one should know the Lord's karma or activities, how they are divine and transcendental. It is explained in Ishopanishad, Saparyaga chukramaka yamavranam asna viram shuddham apavavidham kavirmanishi paribhu svayam bhujyata tattatortham vidadacha shvatibhyas samabhyaha. Here, every word is describing about the special nature of the Lord's body. It is said, Saparyaga chukram akayam avranam. It is said the Lord's body is not material. It is completely divya. It is transcendental. Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. And Asnaviram. Nas means veins in the body. Asnaviram means large body has no veins. That means there is no blood flowing. There are no veins or bones or ribs or some material things like that. His body is completely pure and spiritual, Satchidananda. And being God, being Satchidananda, every one of his limbs of his body can perform the activities of every other limbs. We can give innumerable examples to show how the large body is divya. Like one time, when Lord Ramachandra was walking in the forest, his lotus feet touched a stone, and out came Ahalya. You know that? One woman named Ahalya came out. She was cursed to become a stone by her husband because of some previous action. And by the Lord's lotus feet touching the stone, immediately she came back to life. She assumed her original form. This is the meaning of the Lord's body being transcendental. Not only that, when Lord wants to create somebody, he doesn't need the assistance of a woman. How does Vishnu create Brahma? Do you know? Vishnu is called as Pankaj Nabi. From whose Nabi, the Pankaj of the lotus sprouts. So when he wants to create the first created living being, Brahma, what does the Lord do? Just from his own Nabi he creates a lotus flower in which he is creating Brahma. In the same way, Lord performed many acts to show that every one of his limbs of his body are transcendental. In the first place, one should understand who is the real enjoyer. The word Purusha represents the enjoyer. In Bhagavad Gita also the word Purusha is used to indicate the living entity. But it is used in a sarcastic sense. It is said Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Janguna Karanam Guna Sangosya Sat Asat Yoni Janmasu. It is said the Purusha, the tiny Purusha, the living entity, he is wandering from one species to another species and he is getting Sat Yoni and Asat Yoni. That means good Yoni and bad Yonis, different bodies. And is struggling to get some kind of enjoyment, squeeze some enjoyment from this world. But he is always ever frustrated. Whereas it says, who is the real enjoyer? Uttama Purushastu Anyaha. The real Uttama Purusha is, Anya means different. The Uttama Purusha is a different. His name is Paramatma. So it is said, there are two Purushas, the tiny living entity and the great Lord, who is called as Uttama Purusha. So Lord has the nature as the enjoyer, and our nature is to be enjoyed. This is how the system is made. We are the part and Lord is the whole. And we are enjoyed, Lord is the enjoyer. So Lord is the supreme enjoyer and he has infinite parts and parcels who are enjoyed, who are supposed to give pleasure to the Lord by cooperating with him in his enjoyment. So if one tries to take the Lord's position as enjoyer, one can certainly try it, but one will be inevitably frustrated. One can make a try as an enjoyer. One will be inevitably frustrated. But how the Lord is an enjoyer, Lord showed when he entered Mathura. When he was entering Mathura, he was going and there was one man who was washing the clothes. He was a washerman. And Lord told him, myself and Balaram and our covered boys have come, please kindly give us some clothes to wear. So he wanted to choose some nice clothes and wear. And this man was a servant of Kamsa. He said, you boys, how dare you ask this cloth of Kamsa? If you ever behave like this impudently, I will take you to King Kamsa and punish you. So this fool did not know the position of the Lord. He didn't know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he objected to his taking one of the clothes. So Lord just used one of his limbs, namely his finger, and as did like this, his head was gone. His head fell off the body. He fell off the body just by touching. So this is also another proof that Lord's body is transcendental. Can you do like this to somebody and remove his head? But Lord did that. So he showed on one hand that his body is transcendental. On the other hand, he showed that he is a supreme enjoyer and nobody can question his authority. Now, somebody may say, this washerman was a faithful follower of Kamsa. శిష్యుల బాపించి గోవారు భగవానికి, నితావు వచ్చిన భగవానికి, శ్రీల ప్రభుత్వానికి, this washerman as a faithful follower of Kamsa, what's wrong in that? Somebody may say he was a servant of Kamsa, so what he did is right. He objected to Krishna enjoying the cloth. Am I right? Can somebody not ask that question? He is a servant of Kamsa, so why should he not object? Of course, he was a servant of Kamsa, but Supreme Lord is the source of everything that exists, and he is the supreme enjoyer. When he comes and asks you, then you can never say no. Just like in big leading companies, if you see, there are areas marked. This is a parking place for the general manager. This is a parking place for the works manager. This is a parking place for the shop superintendent. And everyone has his own parking place, and they park their cars in particular places. But when the owner of the company comes, he can park his car anywhere he wants. Nobody can raise any objection. Because the owner of the company is above the law, nobody can question him. A similar example, say you are working in a company, and the company offers you only 12 casual leaves in a year, and 10 sick leaves. And now you have exhausted all your leaves. But one day the owner of the company comes to you and he is very pleased with your service. And he tells you, now I give you 1 month off. You can go and enjoy. Just take 1 month leave and you take this 10,000 rupees and you have a nice time. Will you accept or not? How many of you say you will not accept? Because your 12 casual leaves are over and your 10 sick leaves are over. So will you accept that offer or not? Taking 1 month off. How can you accept? Because your leaves are over. What is your authority in accepting? Huh? Owner is giving you permission. So owner is above the company rules. So he can give you such an offer. Correct? So this is what proves that when one is above the law, he is not bound by anything. Namam karma nilimpanti name karma phala ispuha. Krishna says the karma cannot touch me. So this verse says the Lord is apapa viddham in all his actions. How can he do any immoral act? In fact, all the actions of Krishna are for the benefit of other living beings. He said he is apapa viddham. He is so supremely pure, like the shining sun in the sky, that like the sun may absorb the urine, but never become contaminated. Similarly, Lord is so great that whoever takes his shelter becomes purified at heart and becomes liberated. Then how can Lord be impure? Unless Lord is pure, he cannot make the hearts of the living beings pure. Am I right? Isn't it? So Lord has to be supremely pure like the shining sun. And the sun may absorb urine and still not get contaminated. In the same way, he said, Krishna is apapa viddham and the Supreme Father. And as Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bijaha Tadha Pita, he says, I am the father of every living being. And he is the source of the gopis, he is the source of gopas, he is the source of the parents of gopis and gopas, he is the source of the cows, calves, everything is coming from him. So Lord is not enjoying anything that is outside the purview of what he has created of his own. In fact, Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita that everything is within him. You know that? One time Krishna showed his mouth to Mother Yashoda, when he was doubted for having eaten sand. So what did Mother Yashoda see within his mouth? She saw the entire universe. Not only the universe, with all its living beings, with mountains and oceans and sky and bhumi, and within that there was Yashoda, within that all the Vrindavan was there, everything was there in the mouth. So everything is contained within the body of the Lord. So Lord is not enjoying anything that is outside of him. Whereas when you enjoy, you are trying to enjoy something which you didn't create, that is outside of you. For example, you are walking in the street, there is a mithai ka shop. You go and put your hand in one of the bottles and take a chocolate and eat. What will happen? Without paying money, you'll get a slap. Whereas the owner who owns the shop, he can take any chocolate he wants. Isn't it? Because everything belongs to him. In the same way, everything has been created by the Lord, and he can reciprocate love with his devotees in any way he wants, because he is supremely Swarup. So he was telling Shukadeva Goswami, he said, transgression of religious principles by the supreme controller, they testify to his great power, Shrita Goswami said. Unless one can exercise authority, then one cannot be considered supreme at all. What kind of supreme are you if you are not above the law? Like I told you, the owner of company, say telco, he can visit the company whenever he wants and just go from department to department, see the work, how it is going on. He can go to any office he wants, he can sit anywhere he wants, and he can ask for any cold drinks he wants. And he can tell that the company be declared off today afternoon because I have come. That all the people assemble, I would like to meet them. He can declare, isn't it? Who can stop him? Can anybody stop him? He is the owner after all. In the same way, Lord is above the law, and such portrayal of the Lord's freedom testify to his great power. And also he said, somebody may say, because Lord himself did this, so we must very carefully follow in the footsteps of the Lord. So because Lord dances, so we also have to dance. So Shukadeva Goswami used the word Ishwaranam. Ishwaranam actually means supreme controller. Being the supreme controller, he is above the law, but we are not above the law. We are always controlled. If you want to imitate such great personalities, like Shiva, he drank the poison, the halahal poison which came out of the ocean of milk. He took the concentrate of that and he drank it and kept it in his throat, so he became Nilakanta. Can we imitate that? So those who want to take ganja, saying that Lord Shiva is also taking ganja as some intoxicant. So if they want, they can imitate. If they want to imitate him drinking, taking ganja, then they should imitate taking poison. You can't even take a drop of poison, you will die. That will come to the proportion point. And similarly, Ravi made a point that if you want to imitate rasa dance, then he said, you at least lift the table, he said. So when we talk of the question of proportion, can we proportionally enjoy like the Lord? You can try it, but even proportionately you can't. Because it is your nature to be enjoyed. This was the correct answer for the question. What is your nature? Your nature is to be enjoyed. You are not the enjoyer. If you try to enjoy, you will see that you are inevitably frustrated and defeated again and again and again. And it is not a new thing that I am telling you now. Whether I preach to you or not preach to you, every one of you is going to try to enjoy. That's the nature of this material world. And everyone has been trying from since time immemorial, and we are trying and we will continue to try until we become pure devotees. Till then, we are going to try endeavoring to enjoy. That is why Krishna says, Purusha, Sukha Dukkanam, Bhoktritve Heturuchyate, he said. This tiny Purusha who is wandering in the name of an enjoyer, this fool, he is trying to enjoy, but he is inviting his own trouble, Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita. Purusha Sukha Dukkanam, Bhoktritve Heturuchyate. So he is thinking he is an enjoyer, tiny enjoyer, whatever it is, proportionate enjoyer, but you try proportionately, you will be inevitably frustrated repeatedly. You try the same thing. What is speak of enjoying with 16 women, you try to enjoy with one woman, how much can you enjoy? You will be frustrated. How much is the ability of your senses to enjoy? Even with one woman, what is speak of 16 women? You will see that your desire for enjoyment is there, but your ability to enjoy is gone. That is gone. That is why Prabhupada said in Paris, if you are looking from the top, down the road you can see all the men who are 88 years old, they are having bunches of rupee notes, going to the bars and restaurants, giving this money to the beautiful girls and requesting them to dance so that at least they can see them doing some cabaret dance. So they can see that. Because they don't have ability to enjoy them. At least let us enjoy with the eyes, they are thinking. So you don't have ability to enjoy. You can't imitate like that. And besides that, this rasa dance is not a subject matter which is so easily understood. Because as Shukadeva Goswami was explaining, the Lord's portrayal of this particular pastime is understood in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam are compared to the lotus feet of Krishna. And the second canto are compared to the calves, and then the thighs, and then gradually third, fourth, fifth canto are compared to the chest, and then the shoulders, and then the beautiful smiling face of Krishna is compared to the rasa bands in Srimad Bhagavatam. So one should begin from the first canto, gradually go ahead to understand the supremacy of Krishna first. Unless we are convinced about the glory of Krishna and supremacy of Krishna, and know that he is our Suhrat, our eternal friend, and he cannot cause any harm, only then you can understand this particular pastime of rasa dance. Like, for example, how many of you think your mother will ever kill you, or your father will kill you? Is there anyone here who has a doubt that your father may ever kill you? Or is there anybody here who thinks that your father may cheat you or exploit you? There are families where the fathers exploit children. There are families. But still you all have firm faith that your father or mother will not exploit you. How did you develop this firm faith? You have a firm faith. In the same way, when you advance in spiritual life, one understands that the Supreme Lord is not an exploitator, but actually he is a loving servant of his devotees. The Supreme Lord is actually a lover of every living entity, and he cannot cause any harm to any living being, nor can he do anything abominable. So the Lord has innumerable devotees, and every one of the devotees want to reciprocate with the Lord in a particular way. Somebody wants to treat the Lord like a child, like Mother Yashoda. Lord immediately agrees, no problem, I'll become your child. So he becomes small Gopal. And then Yashoda is running after the Lord and trying to bind him with a rope to a grinding mortar. Some living entity wants to behave with the Lord like a friend, like Arjuna behaved as a friend. Or the Gopas, Sri Rama, Sudama, Madhumangal, they all behaved as a friend of the Lord. So Lord agrees to take the role of a friend. శిశురవ అగ్ని ద్వార భగవాన్ కి వచ్చింది భగవాన్ కి అండ్ సంబడి వాంట్స్ టు సర్వ్ ద లార్డ్ యాజ్ అ సర్వెంట్ సో లార్డ్ అగ్రీస్ ఇమీడియట్లీ అక్సెప్ట్ సచ్ డివోటీ యాజ్ అ సర్వెంట్ సో లార్డ్ ఈస్ జస్ట్ ఫుల్ఫిలింగ్ ద డిజైర్స్ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెంట్ లివింగ్ థింగ్స్ సో వన్ టైమ్ వెన్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ వెంట్ టు ద కింగ్డమ్ ఆఫ్ భౌమాసుర హ్యాడ్ క్యాప్చర్డ్ థౌసండ్స్ అండ్ థౌసండ్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ గోపీస్ అండ్ కెప్ట్ దెమ్ ఇన్ ద జైల్ He had kept all of them. And all these gopis, when Krishna defeated Bhaumasura and killed them, all these gopis, they requested the Lord. The Lord told them, now you are all free. Now you all can go back. Be happy. And they said, how can we go back? You have been already brought by Bhaumasura. And now nobody will marry us. Then what do you want? Krishna asked. We want you as our husband. And Lord said, okay, granted. Immediately. And the Lord married all of them. Can any of us do that? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want to marry one wife, there is so much talks going on between the parents of four girls and the parents of boys. Probably it takes 2-3 years to get one marriage done. The Lord can say that because he is the owner of everything that exists. He granted the permission and he married all of them and satisfied the desire. As he was telling in the lecture, he made one palace for each of the gopis and gave them all opulences that they desired. To satisfy one wife in this world is very difficult. The Lord satisfied thousands of them. So Lord doesn't see them as girls or boys. Lord sees them as devotees. Somebody said this point, wonderful. Lord sees them as devotees. But for our mundane eyes, as soon as we see a woman or a man, immediately we have the duality. We discriminate. This is man, I hate him. This is a woman, I love her. So you discriminate between the two. But Lord doesn't discriminate. Lord sees everything, everyone to be his devotee, and he just wants to please them. You see, in the spiritual sky, as I told you, different devotees want to reciprocate with the Lord differently. So some of the devotees want to reciprocate with the Lord in conjugal love. Conjugal love is mutual love between the girl and the boy. So there are many devotees in the spiritual sky who want to reciprocate with the Lord in love, loving relationship. So Lord agrees to dance with them. He teases them. He dances with them, he plays with them, but we should understand clearly that there is not even a trace of lust in the spiritual sky. There was one girl named Kubja. Actually, she was a very old lady. She had a hunchback and she was shivering, practically her body was shivering. And she was carrying some chandan to be offered to King Kamsa. And when Krishna was entering Mathura, he saw this old lady coming. With a hunchback, and Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. So he was trying to crack some jokes about her just to enjoy with his friends. So he was cracking a joke. He said, "Oh, beautiful lady, oh, beautiful tall lady," he said, "where are you going carrying this chandan?" So this lady understood that Krishna is teasing me. But still she said, "I am actually carrying chandan for Kamsa's service. But after seeing you and Balaram, I am so impressed with both of you that today I want to use the chandan for applying on your beautiful bodies." This story has a very deep significance. Please hear it attentively. This Kubja having a hunchback represents the conditioned soul carrying heaps and heaps of sinful activities. When we are all carrying sinful actions in our life, sinful reaction, we look beautiful or ugly? Ugly. Actual ugly or beauty doesn't mean that you externally look beautiful or ugly. Ugly means one who is carrying heaps of sin on his back, truckloads of sin from the past. So she was carrying, that's why she was having a hunchback like that. And she had those sinful reactions because she was serving whom? Kamsa. In the same way, the conditioned soul has been serving the mammon for millions of lifetimes. How many years we have spent in the lap of the witch of Maya? So many millions of lifetimes. Due to which we have practically become ugly. And we are carrying these sins. And somehow or other we come in contact with devotees of Krishna who inspire us to come closer to Krishna and surrender to him. In the same way, Krishna directly approached Kubja and told her, "My dear lady, you are taking this chandan for Kamsa's service for a sinful man. But if you offer it to me, then you will become greatly fortunate," he told her. What does that mean? The living entity, if he gives up his surrender to Maya and surrenders to Krishna, then he can become fortunate. The Lord said like that. So immediately, Kubja was pleased and she offered all the chandan to Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna wanted to give her something in return. He kept his lotus feet on her feet and caught hold of her cheeks like this and raised it like this. When he raised her cheeks, immediately her body became straightened. Not only her body became straightened, her emaciated body turned into a body of a beautiful looking girl. Very young, beautiful looking girl. And Kubja became so overjoyed. And she became immediately attracted to Krishna's beauty. She said, "Oh Krishna, you're looking very beautiful." And she was also a beautiful girl. So she wanted to enjoy with Krishna. So she had a lusty propensity in her. Now, when people hear about this Kubja pastime, they become very attentive. "Oh, if she became lusty, then what happened next?" Krishna told her, "I will come and satisfy you, not now, at a later time." And the Lord went away. And Lord did come at a later time to the house of Kubja. And there was nobody. Only the Lord was there and Kubja was there. Lord entered the house. And Lord knew that Kubja has a lusty propensity to enjoy with me. So when Lord sat in a seat, and Kubja, out of her great lust in her heart, she took the Lord's lotus feet and kept it on her chest. When she kept the Lord's feet on her chest, immediately her burning lust completely was satisfied. And she turned into a pure devotee at that moment, when the Lord kept his lotus feet on her chest. So Prabhupada writes there in that connection that if anyone thinks that Lord went there to enjoy with her, just like a man and woman enjoy sex life in this world, his mentality has to be reformed. That's how he writes. Such a person. Because his thoughts are like a gutter thoughts. He is having such abominable idea that Lord also may have sex life, the ordinary man and woman of this world. In spiritual world, all the senses are spiritual. For the living entities also, not only for the Lord. Lord's body is spiritual and the living entities' bodies are also spiritual. In this world, all of our senses are emanating obnoxious substances, abominable substances, like nose is emanating nasty substances, ears are bringing out so many waxes, stool and urine is passing into the body. All the manholes are bringing forth such abominable substances. But in spiritual world, the entire body is spiritual. The inside and outside, there is no difference. You understand the point? The entire body is made up of Satchidananda. So there is no such thing as the sex life that we see in this world, in the spiritual sky. Although the Lord embraces the gopis, he dances with them, he sings with them, he sings poetry with them, still there is nothing of the kind of sex life that we experience in this material world. This is actually the kind of life that we see amongst animals and the men. This is the concocted thing of a living entity. Like we, although we say material world is a reflection of spiritual world, it is not just a reflection, it is a perverted reflection. As soon as you use the word perversion, that means you are concocting many things of your own beyond what is existing in the spiritual world. So we are perverting the whole thing. So Prabhupada writes, such a person's mentality has to be reformed. So do not ever maintain such thoughts that there can be such a sex life in the spiritual sky. It's not like that. Lord, out of great love for his conjugal lovers, conjugal devotees, he dances with them. And all these great conjugal devotees, they all are from various places. Like one was Dandakaranya forest, the great sages performing penance there met Lord Ramachandra. And they fell at his feet, and Lord Ramachandra could see that these are all actually my eternal associates in the mood of conjugal love. So he told them, I bless you that when I come as a Purna Purushottam Krishna, then you will all become gopis. So whenever we see gopis, you understand that they are the great sages who are performing penance in the Dandakaranya forest. So if you see the gopis as great sages, can you ever mistake them for dancing with Krishna? Just imagine a picture in your mind. Krishna in the center with all great sages with beards and big jika dancing with Krishna. Will you ever consider it a mistake? Will you ever become envious of Krishna by seeing that? You will not. But we see them as women because of our conditioned nature. We see the difference between man and woman. For the Lord, there is no difference between man, woman, animal and all these things. He sees the soul in everybody. Lord accepted service from Jatayu. Lord accepted service from Hanuman. Lord accepted service from gopis. He accepts service from gopas, from the parents. From everyone he accepts service. Anybody who expresses his devotional sentiment to the Lord, Lord immediately reciprocates with them. So, Parikshit was asking, Krishnam viduhu param kantam natu brahmatayamane tasam gunapravaho paramaha tasam gunadiyam katam. He said, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, it appears that the gopis were very lusty for Krishna. They were so much attached to Krishna's beauty. Did they ever really do some devotion to him, understanding he is the Supreme Lord? Then Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear Parikshit, this appears to be lust, but actually it is pure love. What is the difference between lust and love? Lust means you want to exploit and enjoy and dominate. That is lust. Love means you want to serve. This is the difference between the two. I believe you all remember I was telling you in one of the classes, like when a man and woman say, we love each other, they actually don't love each other. They actually have a lust for each other. But if a man says, I want to marry now, what does he look for? He wants to marry the most beautiful woman possible. Even if father and mother is going to choose your wife, still you tell them, please kindly go for a beautiful and fair girl. Isn't it? Because you want to choose one of the most beautiful girls. You can be black, but you want a fair girl. Isn't it? You want to go for a very beautiful girl. Not only that, you think maybe she should be educated and qualified also, so that in case there is a requirement of a job, then she can also do a job and a little bit earn more money. And then you also think, maybe I won't ask for any dowry because it's my principle, but as my parents, you can ask for a car. Or you can ask for some, maybe 1 lakh rupees for security, family security. So you may put so many conditions. Is it not exploitation? This is only lust. And women, they are no less. Women also, they are no less. They have so many expectations. They don't see how beautiful you look. According to them, your beauty is how much money you have in your pocket. That is the beauty of a man. That is why it is said, don't ask the age of a woman and salary of a man. Listen. Because both of them will get angry. If you ask a woman about her age, a man about his salary, they will get very angry. Because man is judged by his salary. You may very tuck in, very beautifully comb yourself, everything, and your woman may associate with you in your college days, but afterwards she will kick on your face if you don't have a good job or you have money. Tomorrow you may go to her and say, my dear lover, I want to love you and marry you. She will say, hell with your love if you don't have a job. Understand the point? Because that's how she judges you. So she wants you to have a good job, and she will ask you whether you have bought a house or not. Because later on, by our earning, we cannot buy a house. Nowadays houses are so costly. 1,000 rupees per square feet. So she will want to see that you have a own house, you have a nice job, and you are in a respectable position in society, and you will be able to satisfy her with enough sarees and enough ornaments and enough protection. Then she will say, maybe now I can consider this fellow. like that. So she also has exploitative tendency. This is the nature of people in the world we see, between man and woman. There is no love at all. But when you talk of love, love is supremely pure. In fact, love is the last word in any spiritual realm. The transcendental life, love is the last word. Peace is not the last word. Love is beyond peace. Love includes peace. Peace is a subset of love. So, if one advances in spiritual life, one can come to the stage of understanding what is this real love. Anybody remembers the definition of love? We spoke a few classes ago. How can I say? Tell me the different components of love. Yes, Satyajit? There may be a possibility of the relationship to break, but it never breaks. The example is Prahlad Maharaj. He was put into so many trials and tribulations, but his love for the Lord never broke. He never gave up his love for the Lord. In fact, he loved him much more than ever before. Then, what is the another component of love? Related. Love means sacrifice for the pleasure of the beloved. That is also love. Yes. Anything else?
Unconditional.
Very good. Unconditional. Love doesn't put any conditions. You never say that, my Lord, if you fulfill this condition, then I will do bhakti. You see to it that I get very good marks, and I am ensured of a good job, and my parents don't trouble me, and my friends don't ridicule me, then I will do bhakti for you. So love is not bound by such conditions. Love means unconditional. So we define the love. Love means the intense affection that is reposed towards the object of love, that is the beloved, with one's body, mind and words. This is love. And I clarify this point. It is not the love that one feels towards the other person who has satisfied one's senses. It is just the opposite. Love is the expansion of oneself with body, mind and words, where one seeks no reward or return for entering the service. This is the meaning of love. Sometimes you request something to somebody and they satisfy you, and then you say, I love you very much. Thank you very much. Very good for satisfying me. That is not love. That is lust. You are showing some kind of smile because you have satisfied your senses. But love is just the opposite. You satisfy him and you want to satisfy him more and more and more without expecting anything in return. Have you seen such a thing in this world? It's very, very difficult to see. If you want to see a glimpse of that, the example of a mother and child is given. The mother is always ready to serve the child. And the child may not do anything in return to the mother at all. At best, the child passes stool and urine and tells the mother to clean it. This is the only service child does. He doesn't do anything for the mother. And mother is cleaning the stool, cleaning the urine, putting on the clothes, bathing the child in the morning, preparing hot water for him, and raising him carefully. So she is doing all these things, almost selflessly we can say. In the material sense, if you want to see selfless love, it's very rare. This mother-child relationship can give us a glimpse of that kind of love. But in spiritual sky, this is the kind of love that gopis have for Krishna. So do you understand the difference between lust and love now? So lust and love are compared to iron and gold. Iron and gold both are metals. But gold is completely pure. And iron is impure. Like you may give a gold coating to iron. But the more you upgrade it, all the black quality of iron will be seen very soon. Is it not? On the other hand, gold, the more you erase it, the more it starts shining in its full glory. In the same way, in this world sometimes man and woman, they consider, oh, our love is divine. Nobody must have loved like us in this world. My love for her is so divine. We think like that. But when you are upgraded, when you are tested in the testing ground of married life, then both of you will be like a cat and a rat, showing their teeth to each other once they marry after that. We don't know where the love is gone. That is why it is said, love is blind, but marriage is the eye-opener. So, you may give a coating of gold on the iron and it may last for some time. But when you are upbraided by the trials and tribulations of the world, where is that so-called love gone? Not only that, the same girl whom you love the most, when she is 8 years old, you can see the body is emaciated, only the skeleton is seen, eyes are sunk inside, ears have become deaf, and she is wearing a power 10 glass, and her hair has become grey. Where is that love gone? Easily you can understand, it looks like a resin, you know. You have seen this grapes which becomes dried up. So our body looks like that. So where is your love gone? Love is finished. So the spiritual love is not like that. Spiritual love is eternal, ever existing. So the gopis of Vrindavan had such pure love for Krishna, pure and pristine love, which cannot be at the least compared with the mundane affairs of man and woman. So mundane affairs of man and woman are simply dominated by lust. That's all. Man and woman are mutually trying to exploit one another. But Krishna and the gopis, this relationship is completely pure. And Krishna, why did he accept the service of these devotees in the form of gopis? There is a reason. Because women have a tendency to render service. By all means, like women are best in rendering services. Like for example, the Vedas themselves describe that women are very fond of cooking. So they like cooking. They make the house with so much variety and so beautiful housekeeping. Women are very expert in that. And washing clothes and rendering service to the husband. So woman feels a great pleasure in rendering service. And man feels a great pleasure in accepting service, if you see. So Purusha means he is enjoyer. But woman's nature is to render service. But when we get the body of a Purusha, this male body, we think we are meant for accepting service. But the living entity is not the enjoyer, he is enjoyed. So the form of the gopis, which is having the form of a woman, is best suited for rendering service. So the gopis of Vrindavan, they may be churning butter, they may be drawing water from the well, they may be doing varieties of services for Krishna like that. But the moment when Krishna plays on his flute, not considering any social barriers or family barriers or anything, the gopis put aside everything and run to meet with their eternal Lord Krishna. And it is said in Bhagavatam that Shukadeva Goswami was explaining that the husbands of the gopis saw the gopis' body by their side lying, and they thought the gopis were sleeping here, but the soul had left their body and come out, which they could not see, and the souls were dancing with Krishna. So this goes to show that Krishna himself had a soul-like body, Satchidananda body, and the gopis also were in that Satchidananda body, and Krishna enacted the rasa dance purely on a spiritual platform. It is not happening on a mundane platform. You read Krishna book? I read this sentence in Krishna book. It is described how the gopis' bodies were lying by the side of their husband. Still the gopis were with Krishna. The spiritual bodies dancing with him. So, this is enacted on a spiritual platform out of pure supramundane love. This rasa dance. And because the female bodies are best suited for rendering service, the Lord accepted service as a lover from them. Like he accepts service from his friends, Sridhama, Sudama and Madhumangal as a friend. Or he accepts service from Yashoda as a mother, or Nanda Maharaj as a father. So Lord doesn't see any difference between his devotees. He sees all of them alike as his devotees. So first of all, we have to come to the Brahma Bhuta platform to understand these pastimes. Otherwise you cannot understand. Vidyavane Sampanne, Brahmane Gavihastini, Shunicheva Shapakecha, Pandita Samadarshanaha. You have to become a Pandita to see all bodies alike. And the male body and female body alike. How can you see like that? When can you see all bodies to be same, equal? Only when you can see the soul. So one should get that sight, vision. Just like if you see a jeep, an automobile, and I see a jeep, what is the difference? Say if you are an automobile engineer and you are seeing the jeep, and I am a novice, I don't know anything, I am also seeing the jeep. Is there a difference or there is no difference? There is a gulf of difference between the two. Because when you see, you are not only seeing the external covering of the automobile, you are also seeing there is an engine, in 4-stroke engine or 2-stroke engine, there is a diesel tank, and there is a radiator, there is a differential axle, isn't it? There are wheels, and how the how the brake mechanism is working, clutch, everything you know, how the steering works, everything. As soon as you see a vehicle, you can immediately understand. Like we have one, Mr. Sanjay Kelkar, who comes in the morning here every day. You just give him a vehicle. If he sits in the vehicle and drives it from here to the gate, he can tell you what is the condition of the vehicle. Because he has been working in this field for the past 15 years or so. So he knows the vehicle. In the same way, unless you know the signs of Krishna in and out, by learning from a proper authority, unless you know the position of Krishna and how to see Krishna with proper eyes, then only you can appreciate these pastimes. Now currently we have cataract in our eyes. Wherever you see two people. You see cataract, if you have cataract, one person appears to be two. You have seen sometimes? You keep your eyes like this, one person will appear like two. So when you have cataract, you don't have proper vision, you cannot see, you have the disease. But if you cure the cataract, then you can have proper vision. So how can you cure the cataract? You understand what I am trying to say? Now we are in a conditioned stage. We are lusty. We are exploitative. So we think Krishna was also lusty. Krishna was also exploitative. We think like that. So it requires a person to be saintly, to appreciate those who are saintly. That is why the great saints, they appreciate this pastime of Krishna with the gopis very much. Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, what is his qualification? He was a 16-year-old lad, and once he was passing through the forest, when he was passing by, there were some women who were taking bath in a river. And after Shukadeva passed ahead of them and went ahead, behind him was Vyasadeva, the writer of all the Vedas. So he was following him, crying, my son, please come back home, was calling him. So when he was following him, he saw that these women, as soon as they saw Vyasadeva, immediately they took their dresses and started wearing in their body. And Vyasadeva went to these women and asked them, you see, my son is 16-year-old son. And when he was going, none of you were so much anxious to immediately put on your clothes. But when I was passing, why did you become so anxious? They told him, my dear great sage, you are a grihastha. So you have to discriminate between man and woman. That your son Shukadeva, he is a liberated jnani, he is a liberated pure soul. He doesn't see difference between man, woman, tree and other living beings. He doesn't see the bodies at all, he sees the soul. This is his platform of realization, they told him. So he was such a great sense-controlled man. Not only that, one time Vyasadeva had sent his son Shukadeva to the court of Janaka, the great King Janaka. And he had requested Janaka to give his son some good advice. Please advise my son Shukadeva, he is a very young boy, give him some realization so that he can advance in spiritual life. So when he went to the court, on that day there was some big festivities going on in the court of Janaka. And the Dwarapala told him that you have to wait for some time. So he was waiting outside. 3 days he waited without eating anything, without sleeping, he was just sitting outside, waiting for Janaka to come and receive. Just imagine if you are asked to wait even for a few hours, you will become so disturbed. And Shukadeva waited. And after 3 days, the king came out with a big umbrella, with a great pomp, with all the musical instruments to receive him with a great honor. And Shukadeva was received. And even at that time, Shukadeva became little disturbed. Neither was he disturbed by not properly receiving, nor was he disturbed by the great pompous display of all the instruments and other things. He didn't become overjoyed by that, okay, now I am very nicely received. He didn't feel like that. He was undisturbed in honor and dishonor. And when he was taken inside the court, there was a big festivity going on. Lot of women were dancing, people were playing instruments, everywhere there was dances going on. It was a big festival atmosphere. And Janaka, as soon as he went inside, he gave him a cup of milk in a small pot. And told him, please carry this milk and go around the mahal 3 times and come back. So he went around the mahal. He didn't even spill even a little bit of it. Just imagine if you are having it and so much festival, people are dancing and all. You look around here and there and you will spill it. So Shukadeva didn't get disturbed. He brought it back safely. And Janaka asked him to open his mouth. He opened and asked him to show his tongue. He showed his tongue. And he put a few spoons of sugar. And it was like a mountain of sugar in his tongue. And told him to keep it like that for a few hours. Not even a grain of sugar dissolved. It remained as it is. Then Janaka fell at his feet and told him, my dear Shukadeva, your father sent you here so that I may teach you something. Now I realize that I have to learn from you. You are so sense-controlled that the sugar didn't dissolve. So he was, why he tested the tongue? Because the most difficult to control is the tongue. This one. There is no sense in this world which is very difficult to control. Somebody may think probably genitals are the most difficult to control. No, the tongue. Because the tongue, belly and genitals are in one line. When you don't control the tank, then your belly grows bigger and it becomes very heavy. And the heavy belly applies pressure on the pelvis and then genitals become uncontrolled after that. So initially once you learn to control the tongue, and Shukadeva was so controlled in the tongue, and he was so controlled in the mind also, he didn't worry about honor or dishonor. And Satya Shukadeva Goswami, he is telling in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vikriditam Gajavadu Viridam Cha Vishnu Shraddhandita Anushuniyat Apavarna Yedyaha Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Patilabhya Kamam Hridrogamashu Apahinoti Achirena Dhiraha. He says, Rikriditam Vrajavadobi Ridam Cha Vishnu. The playful, loving pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, if one Shraddhanvita, with a great Shraddha, transcendental faith, Anushuniyat. The word Anu is very important. Anu means in disciplic succession, following in the footsteps of great acharyas. Anushuniyat. If one is hearing it from the great acharyas, Anushuniyat, Atha Varna Yadyat. Or if one is describing these pastimes for the benefit of others. Shraddha Anvita Anushuniyat Atha Varna Yadyat. Then what happens by hearing this pastime of rasa dance of Krishna? Bhaktim Param Bhagavati. One achieves bhakti, intense love for Krishna, by hearing these pastimes. Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam. All one's kama is destroyed in the heart. It is actually not destroyed, it is rightly dovetailed towards Krishna. Instead of, like now in the condition stage, you feel an intense attraction towards beautiful women. You are mad after them. You cannot control your sense. Your mind is practically pulling you as soon as you see a woman. Sometimes boys chase women for miles together. They can't control their mind. Because actually they are not chasing, their mind is dragging them. Come, 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 go behind this woman. Like that. So such an intense attraction for a woman becomes intense attraction for Krishna. So pratilabhya kamam. Kama is removed and one's prema is awakened in the heart. And he very clearly says at the end, hridrogam, the disease of the heart, namely this lust, ashu, very quickly, apahinoti is destroyed, he says. What is the disease of the heart? Lust is the disease of our heart. So we have to remove this lust and re-establish the divine love for Krishna in our heart. So by hearing this pastime of Krishna with the gopis, one's love for Krishna is awakened in one's heart by hearing this. So you have to be innocent for hearing this. It's very important. And you have to hear from pure devotees whose heart has become completely cleansed. Nivritta tarshahi upagiya manat. Tava aushara srotta manabhirama. Manabhirama, that is said. It is very relishable by the devotees who hear this. Why, when devotees hear this pastime, how they hear? They don't think, let me also exploit and enjoy. Krishna is dancing, I will dance in it, I will also dance proportionately. They don't think like that. What do devotees feel? Oh, Krishna is the enjoyer. Let me also become like a gopi and give enjoyment to Krishna. In Vrindavan, you don't find gopis fighting amongst themselves that, you know, Krishna is only my husband. If it was really lust, then there would be a fight amongst the wives. Like I told you, you remember last week I was telling one example. If a man has six wives, every wife will pull the husband to her side, isn't it? Everyone will give me this, give me that, like that. Well, in Vrindavan we see all the gopis are peacefully, they're clasping their hands and dancing around Krishna. They want to see that Radha and Krishna are swinging. Like you see the picture there, Radha and Krishna are swinging. And all the gopis are very happy, dancing. So what does this prove? They have no lust. They have pure love. Because they want to see every other devotee to be loved by Krishna. They want to just assist Radha and Krishna in their loving pastimes. So the gopis are always eager to see Radha and Krishna together because Radharani is the topmost devotee in Vrindavan. So they want to see that Radharani serves Krishna. Because devotees, what is the mood of a devotee? You know that? Mood of a devotee is that not, he doesn't want to display his greatness. Just see how I can do this. Just see how I can do that. He doesn't display. He wants to see who can do this service in the best possible way. Let that person serve Krishna, because Krishna will be very pleased by that. So they know Radharani is best in everything. She is best in cooking, she is best in dancing, she is best in singing, she is best in everything. So let us assist Radharani by seeing Radha and Krishna dancing together, or Radha and Krishna singing together. So qualified that he was 16 year old, but in front of him was sitting the great sages like Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of all the Vedas. Narada Muni, who is the guru of Vyasadev, and there were many other great sages and saints sitting there, thousands of them, they were hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. And Satya Shukadeva Goswami is extolling the pastime of Radha and Krishna. So, we may say, why should Krishna perform such an act which may confuse the people and put people in controversy? The answer is, the Lord is supremely independent, He is Swarat. And He never bothers to follow all the laws, rules and etiquettes of this world. Just like the ambulance van did not follow any rules when it is going in the street. It can go anywhere. Similarly, the Lord, as I told you, the owner of a company can park his car anywhere he wants. So Lord is performing His pastimes as He is doing in the spiritual sky, and some of them we call it as moral. Some of them we call it as immoral. Like for example, in India, if you, at least some years ago in India, if a woman is seen to be alone, wandering the street after 11 o'clock, then she is considered a prostitute, or an unchaste woman at least. In India, a woman is found to be alone, wandering the street after 10:30 or 11. But in America, a woman's life starts at 11. It's not considered immoral at all. So in country to country, the things vary. The standards that are set for morality vary from country to country. Because it's all depending on people's understanding of what is moral and what is immoral. But the Lord is beyond all these principles. He is like the sun. In a dark room, if you lit up a candle, certainly that is nice. Because it dissipates the darkness in the room. So that you can see the things. In the same way, in this world, if you are following some moral principles, that is certainly very good. Because people will appreciate you that you are a moral person and you are a good person like that. But the Lord is not like the candle, He is like the sun. Can you search for the sun with your candle? Is it necessary for a candle to search out the sun? When the sun shines it with all its glory in the sky, then candle has no power or no ability. In the same way, the Lord's morality is that He dances with the gopis and satisfies His devotees. Isn't it? And Lord cut off the head of the washerman. How the Lord may perform such pastimes which may apparently be mystical and difficult for us to understand, but they are on the platform of supra-mundane morality like the shining sun. In front of that, our mundane morality is like a small, tiny candle. It has no place. We may keep on arguing throughout your life. No, this is the mundane moral principle that Lord has to follow, He has to follow. All those things you can argue, but it is useless. Because He is Swarat. And His moral principles are the ones which He sets. And He has supreme freedom. So, we see from the lives of great devotees like Shukadeva Goswami, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, great acharyas, glorifying Krishna to be God, the supreme God. It's the source of all that exists. And they're glorifying this. Even Shankaracharya has written a poem, Pandurangashtakam. There's a poem where he specifically glorifies Krishna's pastimes with the gopis to be on the platform of supreme love. And he says one should achieve the status, he says, in his life. That's the ultimate goal of life. So when you come to the Brahmaputra platform, you can clearly see there is no difference between boy and a girl. This is only a shirt. Somebody may be wearing pant and shirt, somebody may be wearing dhoti and kurta, somebody may be wearing a plain gown. But you don't see the difference. Within every dress, there is a man. In the same way, within every body, you can clearly see that there is a soul who is an eternal devotee of Krishna. When you see that, then you will not at the least have any doubts about this asabhance. So it is said, if you want to learn what is this asabhance, the beginning is that you should be completely free even from little propensity for sense gratification. You should be completely free. The desire for sense gratification. So make a beginning from today. Give up sense gratification and do only things which are ordained by the Shastras to you. Follow them in your life. Follow the Krishna's order. It is said Krishna was in the midst of so many girls, but he is considered the topmost brahmacharya. There is another pastime which explains how he was not even at the least affected by the influence of so many girls. This is the Lord who is like the shining sun. Because he has no lust at all. Because he sees them as his devotees. And his dancing with the gopis also is not for his pleasure, it is for their satisfaction. Like Krishna is satisfying every living being according to their desire. Every living being is desiring and the Lord is fulfilling. And everyone expresses one's desire. Like Muchukunda desired. He was a pure devotee of the Lord in the previous life. Oh my Lord, I want to have your blessed darshan. And then when he died in the next lifetime, he became Muchukunda. And he was sleeping in a cave. And Lord went inside the cave and gave his darshan. And Muchukunda was woken up. And Muchukunda saw the beautiful form and he asked, who are you? You appear to be Supreme Personality of Godhead. And your body is having so much effulgence. And the Lord said, my dear Muchukunda, in your previous birth, you are my pure devotee. And I have come here simply to satisfy your desire of having my darshan. Now here I am in front of you. You can have my blessed darshan. Lord told him. So this is the beauty of the Lord, that for every living being, he understands our minutest of the desires and he fulfills it. So he knows that the gopis wanted him as his eternal lover. So he accepted that and he danced with them. And we can appreciate it only when we become free from this exploitative, enjoying mentality. Now in the modern times, the so-called bandiaras, which they are doing between boys and girls, they call it a cultural program. Like I know, when I was studying in IIT, they were going from room to room battering the doors. They were calling all the people. One time a boy was battering the door, I opened the door, he saw me and got frightened. He went away. Because they know me, that I go to ISKCON classes. They feel some kind of guilt. At least three boys came to my room and I asked them, what do you want? Nothing, Radhesham. It's just like that. I didn't know it is your room. They were telling me. Then I'm feeling, why do you feel some guilt? Tell me, what did you want from me? No, we are just calling all the people for a very special cultural program. What is it? Did you also participate? I said, no, you are not wanted. What is the program? No, we will not tell you. Why? Tell me, what's the program? Then afterwards, some others, they came to know. They were having these banderas. So everyone in banderas knows that this is a once in a year opportunity for them to dance with any girl they want. And this holy is another occasion where other times you can never even imagine touching a girl. Probably you can imagine in your dream. But holy is opportunity where you can throw colors and touch her cheeks and touch her body. It's a good opportunity to exhibit your lusty propensities like a dog or a cat. You can do that once in a year. And the name of a cultural program is going on. This nonsense is going on. The name of Bandiaras. So, the condition souls, if they imitate Krishna, they will only fall down into the lowest platform of existence. Tanaham dushata kruran, samsaresh naradaman, chipami ajastram ashuban, asurishu yoga yonishu, asurim yoni maapanna, mudha janmani janmani, maam apraapyaiva kaunteya, tato yanti adamam gatim, Krishna says. He says if anyone is engaging in such illicit activities in this world, in the name of imitating the Lord, what happens to them? Tanaham dushita kruran samsaresh naradama. I put them, cast them down into the lowest form of species. And they glide down gradually to lower and lower and lower species of the order of a cockroach or a tree or a worm in the stool. They become like that by doing these things. So as conditioned souls, as living entities, our prescribed duty is to follow the scriptures. To follow the Lord's order that is given in the scripture. But if one has at all some lust in the heart, you doubt all this lust in the service of God. It is said, one should conquer the ignorance and doubt all the passion in Lord's service. You can conquer the ignorance and doubt all the passion. How? If you have a lot of passion in your body, dance, jump up and down, or distribute a lot of books, or do a lot of preaching and exhibit all your lust in the service of the Lord, then your heart will become purified to understand these pastimes. But if one wants to enjoy in a proportionate way or in a bigger way or whatever way, he will be the most frustrated man in this world. So this one should understand. Actually in India, in the name of cultural program, many people do many such things. But we should not get cheated. What is because of doing these things with the body, even in the thought of these things in the mind, like you know, dancing with a girl or thinking of embracing a girl, that pollutes your mind so much. And if one continues to do such things, one feels very guilty. Why should you have guilt in doing such an act? Because it is not your nature to do that. Ideally speaking, the nature of the soul is to render service to the Lord. So, if you have at all such propensities, exhibit them in Lord's service. Nardamuni was talking to Yudhishthir, he told him, Gopya kama bhayat kamso, dveshat chedyadaya nrupa. He said the gopis had such intense love for Krishna which appeared like lust. But by such intense love, they are liberated. And Bhayat Kamsa. Kamsa had a fear. But he was always thinking of Krishna in that fear. So the point is, any propensity you have, within that propensity Lord Krishna should be put into picture. Kamsa was so fearful, at every moment he was thinking of Krishna. When he was walking in the palace, when he was coming down the staircase, when he was walking in the garden, at every point he was seeing Krishna. When he was looking at the moon in the sky, it appeared like Krishna's face for him. He was fearing whether it is Krishna. And when he was sitting in his room, when his two queens came, he jumped up from his seat and said, "See, Krishna Balaram are coming." He said, he saw his two wives. And they said, "Oh, we are your wives. Why do you say we are Krishna Balaram?" He went to the mirror to dress himself and he found his head was cut off. His head was amputated. His body was only from here. So he became fearful. "Oh, Krishna is cutting my head," he shouted. So in this way, Krishna, 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 he was thinking all the time. So he was liberated. So he says, Gopya Kama, Bhayat Kamso, Dvesha Chedyadaya and Rupa. And like great kings like Shishupal, they were having Dvesha for Krishna, but they were thinking of Krishna all the time. Sambandha Advishneha. And Vrishnis, by the relationship with Krishna, they were thinking of him. And he says, "My dear Yudhishthir, all of you, you all are his devotees of Krishna by your devotion, bhaktya." And he says, and all of us, Narada Muni says, like Narada Muni says, myself and all the devotees, who are also by our sadhana bhakti, who are also trying to come to the platform of pure love for Krishna. So any propensity that we have, if we dovetail it in Krishna service, then one can come to the platform of pure love. So we should perform sadhana bhakti, understanding gradually the position of Krishna. We have to understand the position of Krishna. That's why in our movement, in the beginning, what is stressed very much is to understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without knowing one's position, you cannot know how to respect a person. It's not possible. If a Prime Minister is sitting here in the class, you may not know how to respect him because you may not know who he is. But if somebody tells you what is his position, what are his powers, how much can he exercise his powers, then you can respect him. Similarly, Krishna's position has to be understood. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 tattvas in Bhagavatam explained. Beginning from Sarga, primary creation, Visarga, secondary creation, Sthana, Poshana, Uti. There are 10 principles explained in Bhagavatam, which are all called as Ashrita Tattva. Ashrita means, all of these principles, 9 things, they take shelter in one Ashraya Tattva. Who is that Ashraya Tattva? That is Lord Krishna. Krishna is the Ashraya of everything in this entire creation. So Srimad Bhagavatam gradually develops these 10 principles from first canto, second canto, third canto, like that. And in the 10th canto, the Ashraya Tattva Krishna is explained. Why Shukadeva Goswami is explaining that in the 10th canto? So that we can gradually build up our understanding about Krishna and then understand these pastimes. For example, if I tell you, the Prime Minister of India, just see his power. He has so many ministers under him. He has so many servants. When he comes to Pune, 100 cars come with him, 50 cars ahead and 50 cars behind. And he has about 20 bodyguards. And if he tells a word, then it will be followed all over in India. After hearing all these things, if I tell you, now the Prime Minister of India is now going home. And on his back, his child is sitting, climbing on his back and riding him, riding on him like an elephant. So how will he feel? He'll be very amazing to you because he's the Prime Minister and just see his love for his children, that he is accepting his child to be superior to himself and taking him on his back. In the same way, you understand supremacy of Krishna and see how he reciprocates with his devotees. So a devotee gratefully appreciates these pastimes of Krishna. Just see how Krishna is satisfying every one of his devotees. This is the glory of God, that he can understand the minutest desire of every living entity and satisfy. When Krishna was appearing in the wrestling arena, everyone saw him with a different mood. Mother Yashoda and others, they were saying, "Oh, just see my beautiful Gopal." But now he is going to fight with Chanur and Mushtik, who are great wrestlers. How can this small, tender child whose body is like butter, how can he fight? Mother Yashoda was thinking like that, and other mothers. There were other friends. They thought, "Oh, wonderful. Just see our heroic friend. Just like he killed so many demons in Vrindavan, now he is going to finish these two great wrestlers, Chanur and Mushtik." They were thinking like that. There were many impious kings. who are saying Krishna and thought, oh, here is the rod of chastisement who has come here to punish us. God has come now to punish us and kill us. And Kamsa saw, the king of Bhoja, Kamsa. And what did he think? He said, oh, death personified has come here. Because he saw Krishna to be the person who is ultimately going to kill him. So everyone saw Krishna differently, although Krishna was the same. And Krishna satisfied all their hearts like that. So everyone was satisfied like that. So Krishna is satisfying his devotees in this way. And when we advance in spiritual life to come to this platform of Brahma Bhuta and then go beyond that, performing bhakti, mad bhakti labhate param. After that we achieve pure devotional service. Brahma Bhuta prasanatma nasva chitina kangshati. Now we are all currently hankering and lamenting for so many petty things of the world. How can you ever appreciate this rasa dance pastime? You should be completely free from hankering and lamentation of the world. You should first of all become an Atmaram, self-satisfied soul. Then you can appreciate the greatest of Atmaram as Krishna. Then you can appreciate. So one has to be a pure celibate oneself to appreciate how Krishna is a celibate. If you are an Aishtika Brahmachari, you will know how Krishna is an Aishtika Brahmachari. He is not tainted by anything material. You can appreciate. But we are ourselves contaminated in our heart. We are living in the midst of a world which is like a gutter, where it is stinking with desire for sense gratification. We are living in the midst of such a world, and we are also tainted by it. And how can we appreciate these pastimes? There is only one hope, that we have to associate with devotees whose heart is purified and who are like carriers of the message of Krishna, those who are delineating his wonderful pastimes. And they are picturizing these pastimes in our life, and they are trying to give us an understanding of these pastimes. By such association, there is a possibility that our venomous tendency to enjoy and exploit is destroyed, and the flower-like tendency to always bow down to the Lord and serve Him in love and devotion, that is awakened. So unless you come from the platform of lust to the platform of love, one cannot even begin to speak these pastimes. Today we just spoke it to give you some tiny understanding. That's all. These things are not all subject matter for speech. Things like rasa dance. The right subject matter for speech is, we are not the body, we are the soul. That's the right subject matter. But we spoke this topic today because as students you may face so much difficulty answering questions of so many people. And you may give many reasons to them that Krishna was only 8-year-old boy, he was not lusty, or Krishna's body was spiritual. We can give all these reasons, but we have to get realization ourselves. You can speak for the benefit of others, but for us to be convinced internally, one has to gradually rise in spiritual life to the platform of Brahmaputra, so that, you know, we don't have any hankering or lamentation on the material plane. So we can appreciate Krishna. I request all of you to read the Krishna book written by Srila Prabhupada, where these pastimes are wonderfully explained. So Krishna book, although it is talking of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, right from beginning, for everything that Prabhupada speaks, he gives a wonderful purport, so that we will never be misdirected or misguided, or will never feel lost when we are reading Bhagavatam. He gives such wonderful purports for us to understand. He comes down to our level and tries to explain so mercifully. Although he is a compassionate, pure devotee, he doesn't have to give so much logical explanation. But for you and me, he has given such a wonderful explanation in Krishna book. And if you are already chanting a few rounds and you have read some of the small books of Prabhupada, then you can certainly read Krishna book. And anybody whose heart is innocent and seeking devotion to Lord Krishna, by reading Krishna book, you become fixed up devotee. You become a staunch devotee of Krishna. And whether you are able to convince others or not is a secondary question. You will be internally overjoyed and convinced about these lovely pastimes of the Lord. And reading them will only invoke more and more attachment and love for Krishna in your heart. And that's what we want. Because once you are convinced, then convincing others is not very difficult for you. Some people ask, oh, that person asked me this question, this person asked me that question. And we are not able to answer because we are ourselves not very convinced. First, we should be convinced ourselves. There was one particular pastime asked. I will clarify the point and conclude today's presentation. It was with respect to Krishna's pastime of stealing the garments of the gopis. There is a pastime which happened in Chirgat in Vrindavan. Even today, the chirvat is there, you can see in Vrindavan. So Krishna once went there, because the gopis had prayed to Krishna that we all want to accept Krishna as our husband. And they had prayed to Katyayani, and they had performed strict vows. And Krishna understood their mind. And Krishna went with some of his friends, some of his covered boyfriends, to Chirvat. And he went to the top of a tree where the gopis had put their clothes. And he took all the clothes and kept it with himself. And when they were taking bath, and when they wanted to put up the dress, immediately they saw that Krishna is there. So they told Krishna, "Please Krishna, leave this place and go away. Or leave our clothes, give us our clothes." So Krishna told them, "No, you have to come out. Come out of the water and you take from me." See, that time, again, Krishna and the gopis were all very small boys and girls, like 8 years, 6 years, like that. Still, Krishna showed that pastime for a very specific purpose. He told them, "You come out of the water." He said, nobody is supposed to take bath in the water without having the dress. It is a great offense to the river Yamuna. They committed a very great offense. So he told all of them, "Now you pray to Lord Varuna with your arms raised. You have to pray to him that you have committed a great offense to you by taking water in the Yamuna without clothes like this. Only after he forgives, then only I'll give you the clothes." And the gopis were innocent children. They were innocent girls. They accepted and they prayed to Varuna. And this pastime conveys a very deep message. And they came one by one and they took the clothes from Krishna. The acharyas have given explanation to this pastime that, first of all, the gopis have not accepted anybody to be God or supreme than Krishna. Krishna was the only lover. They never wanted to worship Katyayani. They never wanted to worship Varuna or Indra Chandra. They were never attracted by anybody. Still they knew that worshipping Katyayani will bring them Krishna as their eternal husband and lover. That's why they worship Katyayani. And why did they worship Varuna? Because Krishna told them to worship. That's why, just to satisfy him and please him, they worshipped Varuna. And just like as Krishna told the gopis to come and take the clothes, in the same way, every living being, when the living being comes into this material world, you know what is the first thing that is created in the material world? Anybody knows? Ahankar is the first thing that is created. Nitya Ahankar. So, first, from the sound, there is Rajasika Ahankar, Tamasika Ahankar, Sattvika Ahankar, and then from Sattvika Ahankar, the man comes, and Buddhi comes, and Indriya comes, one by one, everything comes. So, all the souls, now, having come to this world, have put up a covering of this Nitya Ahankar on their body. What is this Nitya Ahankar? False ego? What is it? To misidentify oneself with the body. Now, we all are thinking, I'm an engineer, or I'm a doctor, I'm tall, I'm short, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Indian, American. So many designations. These are all called as false ego. So this false ego covering we all are wearing now, in the same way Krishna told the gopis, the garments of the gopis, they represent the false ego. So Krishna, when one surrenders to Krishna, Krishna takes away the false ego, he purifies it and gives back the true ego. What is true ego? Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nitya Das. I am eternal servant of Krishna. This is true ego. So when Krishna touched the clothes of the gopis, immediately it became purified and he gave it back to them. And when they put it on, it represents the soul giving up his false ego and accepting the true ego of being eternal servant of Krishna. Now, when you are told to give up your ego, it is the most difficult in the world to give up. It is actually the last thing that you give up in the world. You can give up a Walkman, you can give up a television, you can even give up a house, you can give up a job, but you cannot give up your ego. It's the most difficult thing to give. Misidentification of oneself with so many posts and position and body. But Krishna here demanded them, you have to give it up. If you want to achieve me as your eternal husband, you have to give it up. Only then you can achieve it. So one should unconditionally, in an unmotivated way, surrender to the Lord. Then the Lord will purify one's existence. And Lord will accept as his eternal servant. And Lord is called a Satvatam Pati. He is the Pati of every living being. Then Lord will accept to be our eternal Pati. So this is the mood and the lesson that is conveyed through this pastime which happened in Chirga. So Krishna not only performed pastime with the gopis like this. Even with gopas there are many pastimes which people generally don't talk about. because they are more interested in these pastimes. Because they think, maybe I can also do something like that. People think, let me also imitate this, I imitate that. So this is a very unfortunate thing. Many times people, they imitate a part of the large pastime and they don't want to imitate the other part. So we have to understand that these pastimes are divine and transcendental. Although they are existing, we may not have a right understanding. We have to read the books of the acharyas like Prabhupada. Read them gradually, elevate our understanding. Because many a times in the world, people, when they talk of God, people think of God as an order supplier. You go to temple, many times I see people coming here also. They close their eyes and they do worship. They don't even know who is standing here inside. Most of them. Here we have Gaur Nithai. One is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one is Nityananda Prabhu. Similarly, Radha and Krishna are standing. Many people don't even ask the question, who is this standing here? But people just come and worship and go. Because they know, you go to temple, some kind of God is standing there, and you tell him, this is my long list of items I need, and he will fulfill those things. These are people think of God. But here we have a God Krishna, who says, come on, I am the supreme enjoyer here. Come and you serve me. And people will be bewildered. They cannot understand, unless they are guided by devotees. So, unless you read these books and you advance in understanding, we cannot participate in the eternal pastimes of Krishna, the Nitya Leela. So, I request all of you to have a copy of Krishna book, read it and understand these pastimes more deeply. Did I not cover any question? What is the question? Correct, yeah. Yeah, actually Radha and Krishna are one. There is no difference between Radha and Krishna. It is explained that the Supreme Absolute Truth, which is one, it has divided into two as Radha and Krishna. The Supreme Truth is Krishna, but He Himself expands as Radharani. You can read it in Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada explains that. So when you see Radha, don't think that this is another girl. Radha is also expansion of Krishna only. And Radharani is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead, it is said. Supreme personality of servitor Godhead, and Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. So Radharani is the best servant and Krishna is the best master. And Radharani also expands as the Ashtasakis, as Dalita, Vishaka and many other forms. So they are also serving Krishna. But then there are jivas. Somebody was asking the difference between parts and parcels and expansions. See, the Supreme Truth has expanded into integrated parts and parcels and minute parts and parcels. What is the difference between the two? All the integrated parts and parcels, like the Vishnu Tattvas, they all are on the platform of enjoyers. And the minute parts and parcels are like the jivas, they all are enjoyed by Krishna. They are servants. So there are two categories, understand? So we are different enjoyer and the Lord is a independent enjoyer. It's already time. We'll conclude here with a small kirtan.